My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, children of our Lord's resurrection, a mother sent her son to war. As he left, her son said to her, "Don't worry about me, Mom. I'll be fine. I'll be home soon." Well, you know as well as I do that that mother did not stop worrying about her son for the entire year that he was deployed. It got worse, though, on those days when she'd be watching the evening news and she'd hear of a skirmish or a battle that took place somewhere in the area where her son was currently serving. And her son knew this about his mother. And so whenever his son heard of a skirmish or a battle that made the news, he would send a note home to his mother. "Don't worry, I'm okay, everything's fine." And for a moment, for a brief moment, that mother would stop worrying quite so much, and she would find a little peace. On the day of the resurrection, the disciples of Jesus needed much more than a letter to bring them peace. They needed to see Jesus alive. They needed to see him with their own eyes. And you can see it in their actions. On Easter evening, the disciples hid themselves in an upper room behind a locked door. And they hid behind that locked door because they were afraid. They didn't understand what was going on. They had heard from the women that Jesus was alive. They had heard from Peter that Jesus was alive. They had just heard from the Emmaus disciples that Jesus was alive. But they still hadn't seen Jesus themselves. And they still didn't quite understand everything that was taking place. And they still couldn't make heads or tails of all the reports that they were getting in. And they stood behind those locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. If they could go after Jesus, if they could go after their teacher and do what they did to him, then what can they do to them, his disciples? And they hid behind those locked doors in fear, especially because Jesus was nowhere to be found. They didn't know where he was. They didn't know where he was staying. They didn't know where they could go and talk to him. And then suddenly Jesus is there in their midst. And as Jesus appears in their midst, he says to his disciples, "Peace be with you." And what a far-reaching effect those few words have on the disciples. The disciples can finally have peace. They see Jesus with their own eyes. They see Jesus alive, and they know where he is. He's standing in the room with them. They see him in their midst. And the disciples can finally have peace because the enemies of Jesus have failed in what they were trying to do. They were trying to put Jesus in the tomb and keep him in the tomb. And now they see Jesus alive and they see Jesus standing in their presence, and they know that the enemies of Jesus did not get their way. That Jesus was the one who was in control. And the disciples also had the assurance that those enemies of Jesus, even if those enemies came for them, that God was still in control and God's will would still be accomplished. And we also know of Thomas, poor Thomas, doubting Thomas. He wasn't there that first night and he didn't believe the message. And so he spent a whole week in fear, a whole week afraid, a whole week refusing to believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And then a week later, he's up there in that upper room. And then he sees Jesus. And he's able to take his hand and put it in the hole that the spear left and to put it in the hole that the nails left. And he had peace. Peace because he saw his Savior alive. All of the disciples had peace because they saw Jesus with their eyes. They saw him alive. They saw him triumphant. But even as Jesus stands in their midst and speaks with a broad pronouncement, "Peace be with you," as Jesus speaks to his disciples, he also narrows their attention onto the reason that they can have this peace, the reason why they don't need to be afraid anymore. He says to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And it seems strange that Jesus would pause in the middle of greeting his disciples. For the first time, he sees most of them after he has risen. After he greets them and assures them they don't need to be afraid, peace be with you, it seems strange to hear Jesus say these words as the follow-on words. But it's through these words we discover the peace that the resurrection gives. Peace be with you, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me. We're going to pause right there for a moment. You see, as Jesus gives us peace, he does not give us a meaningless peace. He does not give us an empty peace. He explains right away why he can say, peace be with you. He explains right away what it means that his disciples live in that peace. As the Father has sent me, he says. And with that statement, he draws the disciples' eyes all the way back to the beginning of Scripture and all the way back to the reason that he came. He takes them back across centuries, back to that Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve sinned against God and rebelled against him in their sin. And God came to Adam and Eve and he promised that he was going to send his Son to deliver them. And then Adam and Eve, they take this sin that they've committed and this original sin, and they pass it to their children. And so God looks at Adam and Eve's children, and he extends his promise to them that he's going to send his Son to deliver them. And then even though, as you go from generation to generation, the observation is made by God that every inclination of their heart is only evil all the time, God maintains his promise to send his Son to deliver them. And even though each individual that's been born since then deserves only God's wrath and punishment, God maintains that promise to give peace to those people. And so Jesus comes to suffer and to die to give his disciples peace. And Jesus allows himself to be betrayed and handed into the hands of his enemies to give his disciples peace. And Jesus is laid in that tomb, and he rises from the dead to give his disciples peace. Because Jesus came to make satisfaction for that original sin that Adam and Eve passed on to their children and their children and their children. And Jesus came to make satisfaction for every sin that was actually committed by every individual that's ever lived in the entire world. And Jesus appears to his disciples, and that's why he can say, peace be with you. For Jesus, through his death on the cross, took away the wrath of God for your sins. And Jesus, through his resurrection, announced that God had accepted the payment for your sins, that your sins are gone, that your sins are forgiven. And so as Jesus stood before his disciples in that locked upper room where they were trapped by fear, Jesus could say, peace be with you, because the disciples were forgiven. And nothing separated them from their God anymore. They truly did have peace with God. However, it's one thing for the disciples to hear this message of peace proclaimed to them once and to hold on to that message of peace as they see Jesus before their eyes on that night. It is another thing to continue to return to this message of peace day after day after day. It's similar to that son who went off to war, who tells his mother, "Don't worry about me, I'm going to be fine, everything's going to be okay, I'm going to come home." It didn't matter how many times the son said that, mom still worried. And it didn't matter how many letters the son sent home, mom still worried. She needed to hear that he was okay. She needed the peace of knowing that he was coming back home. Well, the disciples needed that too. They knew that they had peace with God. They saw Jesus alive with their very own eyes. And you know what happens just a week later? The disciples are gathered once again in that upper room. And they've locked the doors once again because they were afraid. And as Jesus appears to them, he has to assure them, "Peace be with you." They had to hear it again. They had to have that reminder. They had to be reminded that they did not need to be afraid. And they needed to be reminded, not only because Jesus came to give them peace with God, but as Jesus comes, he also charges them with the task of proclaiming that peace to the world. "As the Father has sent me," he says, "I am sending you." And then he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Just as God sent his Son into the world to proclaim or to give the world peace, the disciples have now been charged with announcing that peace to the people who are around. That's why they receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit equips them to proclaim that peace. And that same peace, that same charge that Jesus gives to his disciples, he gives to his entire church here on earth. They are charged as God's agents to proclaim the message of God's forgiveness that Jesus won for them as he died and rose again. And this gift is referred to as the keys. And maybe you're familiar with it. If you go back a few years to catechism class, you had to memorize what the keys were. And you memorized these words. "The use of the keys is that special power and right which Christ gave to his church on earth to forgive the sins of penitent sinners but refuse forgiveness to the impenitent as long as they do not repent." And this is a necessary gift that God gives to us. Because very often we can be like that mother who sent her son off to war. It's very easy for us to start to worry and wonder about the peace that we have with God. Because we still find ourselves involved in daily skirmishes against our sinful nature. And we still lose our sense of peace because of the sins that we commit on a daily basis, or because of the foolish words that we speak, or the selfish pride that we harbor in our hearts. And we still find ourselves trembling under the siege of blame that has a way of encircling us and piling on us with our guilt. And we still find ourselves struggling with doubts in the midst of turmoil. And we still find ourselves wondering if we actually live in triumph with the troubles and the trials that we see going on around us. And in those moments, what happens? The doubt comes in. Do I really have peace with God? Does God still love me? And not only do these thoughts come into your hearts, but they enter into the hearts of the people to the left of you, and they enter into the hearts of the people to the right of you, who struggle with the same doubts and the same questions and the same skirmishes. And so Jesus sends us letters in the midst of our battle to proclaim the peace that we have with God. You are the letter that God sends. And your brother and sister in Christ is the letter that God sends. And they confirm for you the peace that Jesus won for you. And they draw your eyes once again to the peace that God has won for you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, John tells us. That's why at the beginning of the service, your pastor can stand there in the front and announce to you, "As a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He is serving as God's agent, proclaiming God's peace that your Savior guaranteed for you as he rose from the dead. And that's why you can approach your fellow Christian, the one sitting to the left of you or the one sitting to the right of you, and you can announce to them and you can assure them, "Your sins are forgiven. You have peace with God." And that's why when your children sin against you, you can go to them and you can say to them, "I forgive you." And more importantly, Jesus has forgiven you as well. And that's why when you find yourself in the midst of turmoil or in the midst of trying to figure out what's going to happen next or struggling with what's happening in your lives, you can pause and you can say, but I have peace with God because my sins are forgiven. Through the resurrection of Jesus, you and I have received this peace from God. And not only have we received it for ourselves, but we have received the ability to go to the people around us, the people who are hurting, the people who have repentant hearts. We can go to every soul that stands in distress, to every individual who is struggling with doubt before the Lord, and we can assure them of the peace that we have as well. You have peace with God because your sins are forgiven. You have peace with God and how that can equip you as you go through your trials. You have peace with God and how that helps you as you enter into the unknown. The mother who sent her son off to war for that year, we'll be honest, she worried that entire year. And it wasn't until her son stepped off the plane and she was able to wrap her arms around him that she finally had peace. We stand in the shadow of the resurrection. We rejoice in the peace that we have with God because our Savior has been raised from the dead. We rejoice because we have that assurance that our sins are forgiven, just as he said. It's a peace we hold on to. It's a peace that we rejoice in. And it's a peace that we need to hear again and again and again. But on that last day, our joy will be made complete. Because on that last day, we as children of the resurrection will be greeted by our Savior. And we will see him with our own eyes, and he will wrap his arms around us, and he will assure us, peace be with you. Your sins are forgiven, and you will be in my presence forever. Amen.